When we celebrate Christmas, or used to be together in this place, we encourage children to share, and not just children, sometimes adults, to share what kind of gifts they receive, what kind of presents. And I could have done this, but we try to keep it short and simple. And without sharing with us, I just wonder how many of you really received that present, that gift you really long for. Perhaps most children or some children did receive exactly what they long for, but as for us adults, as I referred earlier on, during this time, perhaps one of the greatest presents would have been to spend time with those who really are dear to our lives, we really care for, and they care for us. And even considering the times we are living in, a few weeks ago, some of us dared to make some plans. I know that Brother Andy had some plans too. He's supposed not to be with us today, but with his brother. And then suddenly, less than a week before Christmas, things changed. It wasn't an easy thing for us all. And all of us, we struggle with that, and we would have really, really appreciate to spend time with those who are dear to our lives. Their presence in our life, or with us this day, would have been the greatest present. But I would like to draw your attention to what I've just said earlier on, to reemphasize that actually our greatest presence is His presence. And this is the title of my message. It's on my jumper today. My presence is your present. During the most difficult times in the nation of Judah, way back in history, thousands of years before, once described by Isaiah chapter 7, during the king Ahaz. And the other time is in the time of Jesus' birth, 2,000 years ago. During many times, the people of God have been through dark, dark and difficult times. But these two passages, Isaiah 7 and Matthew chapter 1, describe some very dark and difficult times. During the king Ahaz, he was facing a battle and betrayal from his own brothers, if you like. And he was fearful, anxious, worrying about what's going to happen, and together with him, the whole nation. And during this time, God comes through the prophet Isaiah to bring a message of encouragement. In that darkest time, God offered one of the greatest promise. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Because it's going to be a very, very, very short message today. I don't have time to look into the context, but I invite you to do it these days, whenever you can, today, tomorrow. To read from the very beginning, the context in which this promise came. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. And years after, in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, we read, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We heard numerous sermons about Emmanuel. What does it mean, God to be with us? And we know the theory, but I just hope through what I'm going to share today, it will bring a message of hope and will reemphasize the importance of having God with us and experiencing His presence in the midst of these difficult times. When we think of God's presence, we can think in a very broad way as God's general presence. We call it omnipresence. He's everywhere. His presence, even in Sheol, only place God is not, will never be, is hell. And that's what it makes hell, hell, and so difficult to imagine, because God is not there. But apart of that, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. There is no place where God is not. And yet, he is not well known, and he is not known by so many people. He's not experienced by so many people, and sometimes even by his own people. The one who is omnipresent cannot be sensed or experienced. It's very interesting, and this is a very difficult concept to comprehend, but I just wanted to briefly mention. It's his general presence. However, whenever God wants, in his sovereign decision, he can manifest his presence. The manifestation of God's presence is different than his being omnipresent. It is that moment when God wants to clearly show to someone or a group of people. And he has done it throughout history in different ways, especially in the Old Testament. And I will refer to this a little bit later through what I'm going to share. And all I can say right now is that just before the pandemic, we were in that series, and we spent about 4 or 5 Sundays talking about worship. And one day, I emphasized a lot on the fact that when we worship God with our sincere heart, we cause his presence to manifest in a vivid way. And this is basically our new vision, or part of our new vision, our desire that God's manifested presence will be vividly experienced in this place. Remember when I said we pray and wish that at some point people will just walk or drive on George Road or in this area, and they will be drawn towards this place. And yet, while we were preaching about this and hoping and praying this will happen, for so many months we were not even able to meet in this place. Because God wanted us, first of all, to become people. People that will reflect his presence wherever we are, not necessarily in one place only. And there will be a time when we'll come back to this. And you imagine when you reflect God wherever you are, and you walk in a supermarket, on the street, in school, in a dark times, and God will manifest his presence in your life. But how this can be possible? Well, that's why in Matthew, we read about the birth of Jesus, and Luke also puts it in a different way. And this is not just his general presence, it's not just his manifestation of his presence, as used to happen in the Old Testament and can happen today too. But it was a time on our planet when God himself came to visit us in a palpable way, omnipresence, general presence, manifestation of his presence. But one day he came in person, in a palpable way. Jesus Christ took flesh. He could be touched. He could be heard with a human voice. And I preached about this extensively last year. I'm not going to repeat this. But based on this, we can look at this verse or this promise, Emmanuel, or God with us, emphasizing 3 different things in this very, very short sentence. God with us. Not a God. Not a symbol of God as some may look at the birth of Jesus, oh, just a symbol of God, or Jesus himself, just a prophet pointing towards God, as JWs and others would say. But God himself, God with us. That God, which in the Old Testament, whenever he showed up, people were frightened. They couldn't bear his presence, his manifestation. Remember several cases? Moses, once in the wilderness, the darkest time of his life. Pretty old, 80 years old, roughly. So low in society. Disappointed, frustrated. One day, he encountered this burning bush. But beyond the burning bush, he recognized God's manifestation. And he was afraid. Later on, after he developed a relationship with this God that he couldn't see, but he encountered his manifestation, he was so drawn by him. He got so in love with this God that one day he said, I would like to see your face. Give me this special treat if you like. I want to see your face, Lord. I imagine you are so beautiful, so amazing. I mean, I've been living with you already so many years. I want more of you. And we know that it wasn't possible. He would have died. And God only let him be seen from behind. And that was enough for Moses to change completely and to face his face to show, to reflect the fact that he has seen God. And God is with him, and he is with God. From him, we can learn that you cannot be with God, and God cannot be with you without reflecting this great reality. Let it be today that you will reflect it like never before during this pure Christmas, having him alone and maybe a few other bits around, a nice meal and, you know, a chat on Zoom or whatever, but not as before. His presence today in your life and these days should be so clearly manifested that then you will reflect it towards others. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13, we are not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Without going into details, a lot of people think that he was covering his face because of the radiance, because he was shining. No, in reality, he was covering his face towards the end because that shining, that radiance was fading, and he didn't want them to see how that is fading. He put a veil to cover that he's losing the reflection of God's glory until he went back. And I pray and hope that we don't have to use other kind of masks, Christian masks, Christianese language and attitudes and smiles to cover what we are not, but to reflect what we are and what we have because of his presence. And then as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We have free access to him, to God, to our Father, because God is with us. Can you imagine Moses being with us today? Can you imagine Moses be later on with you on the table? Or at the table, not on the table. Let it be turkey on the table. Being with you. Well, I was preparing this message. I really still hope it's short, but I was thinking a lot during this week. Now imagine Moses being with me throughout the week in my few disappointments, in my few moments of not being happy, looking and watching me throughout the week, looking and watching you, looking and thinking, how can it be? What is your joy? This is the very thing I was longing for years before, to be nearer to God, to see Him. Do you now have it? Because you have Him in you. God with you. God with you. Of course, there are many other experiences. Job, one man that God was so proud of, and one day in the council of heaven, he boasted himself with this man. He was so righteous in the eyes of God. But through suffering, through very dark days, months, dark months of losing dear ones, of struggling with illness, with pain, with suffering, with loss, God comes to Job in a storm, in a hurricane, if you like, a great storm in chapter 38, and speaks to him in a storm. We often refer to Elijah's experience in a whisper, and that sometimes God speaks that way. But we've been through a great storm for so many months. Have we had the same experience like Job during these storms? Reaching towards the end of his book in chapter 42, verse 5, saying, until now my ear heard about you, but now my eye saw you. I'm getting closer to you. God with us in the storm. You might be right now. I just pray that you will encounter this God. It is one thing to go to a concert conducted, let's say, by André Rieu. We all know him. Of him, let's put it this way. It's something to be there, listening, enjoying this great music. And it's a completely different experience. After the end of the concert, to see André Rieu coming straight to you, skipping over thousands of people, and shaking your hand. Say, I want to be your friend. I don't know why, I just want to be your friend. I want to invite you to dine with me tonight. How would you feel? There are two separate experiences. This is what God has done. We can enjoy his manifestation. We can enjoy his omnipresence if you realize that it's true. But when it comes straight to you and invites you into a deep and strong and lasting relationship with him, it's an amazing experience. But this is not enough. It's good to realize that this God is with us. With us. Not just God, the one who passes by, but he came to be permanently with us. In Jesus Christ, he came on planet Earth to procure salvation, and he has done it. But you see, Matthew opens up his book with this great promise, quoting Isaiah, and he closes his book, he ends his book with the Great Commission, repeating the same promise. And I am with you. I'll be with you till the end of times, always. So in the whole book of Matthew, we have the whole story. God came with us and he carries on being with us with this promise, with us. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to be with us, to live in us permanently. If you are a true believer, if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are indwelled by him. But how comes that sometimes we don't enjoy that. Well, often in this church, I emphasize the idea that we shall not rely on feelings, but on truth. Feelings can betray us. Feelings are shaky. So if you really want this Christmas and always to make sure about this promise, you need to stay in the truth. Let God's word feed you daily. Become the truth that guards your minds and hearts. If you want to really, really experience this presence, pure presence of Christ, you need to spend more time in his word, in prayer. He's just one prayer away, someone said. He's just one prayer away. There are times we cannot even pray. It's like a relationship that grows cold. And it happens in our daily lives between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters, between friends. Once was so close and then suddenly happened. You can live with someone in the same house and not enjoy their presence in your life. The same with Jesus. He is with us, with and in us, but we may not experience it. It's not because of him. He has done everything possible. He came. He purchased salvation. He forgave your sins. He restored your life. It's up to me to bring it back to life vividly in my life. And then the last bit. God is with whom? Us. Us. Who is the us? It's interesting. It doesn't say with all. God is with all, but his presence everywhere. He is present everywhere. God with all. It could have been said this way. With us. Who is the us? Is this an exclusive way of putting things? An elite, moral elite for Christ, those who can reach to a specific standard? It's enough to study the whole story of original Christmas. Who came to him first? Shepherds and magi. Who are these? The outcasts of his days. Shepherds in Israel, the outcast, the lowest class, a magi. Well, they might have had a great position in their own country, but they are pagans. When it comes to Israel, outcasts. But they have something in common. Although they were outcasts, they didn't came with any agenda, didn't came with their CVs, how they qualify to come and see Jesus and experience him. They humble, and they accepted God's grace. They are there because, in a way or another, God showed them grace and they responded to his grace. Shepherd, because they were visited by angels. What a grace. Magi, because they managed to see a message in a star. They left everything behind. Wanted to discover this personal relationship with Jesus. What does it mean, God with us? What about you today? Christmas is all about him and coming near to us. And he has done it, as I said. But now, Christmas 2020 should be all about me getting nearer with him. What is keeping you from being near to him right now? Often, even I said it, and I heard it so often being said, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more time to read the Bible, to read theology. I wish I had more time to pray. If this year you didn't have more time than ever, when did you have it? Furlough scheme helped. Everything helped. Are you nearer to him today than last Christmas. What is keeping you getting nearer to him? What are the barriers? The same good news of great joy proclaimed by the angels over 2,000 years ago is still good news and still a source of overwhelming and everlasting joy. In Luke 2, verse 10, 12, the angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Friends, regarding all the circumstances, all the pandemic, you can still celebrate this Christmas with great joy because his presence is your greatest present. Go home. And although this is not a Christmas carol or something that we normally sing for Christmas, you may remember about this old hymn. He walks with me. He talks with me and tells me I am his own. Make it your reality. Amen.